Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please listen or subscribe by visiting newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com or like us on iTunes. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message in Hosea chapter 4, Intimacy with a Spouse. The title of the message today is Intimacy with a Spouse. As we went through the first three chapters of Hosea, we're going to see the comparison of Hosea and God, of Gomer and of Israel. We saw both Hosea and God with a broken heart, as the message brought forth to Israel from him will be with tears and great understanding. To recap, God told Hosea to marry Gomer. She was a prostitute and still active in her career choices. A necessary factor was Hosea loved Gomer, and God wanted to do something in the heart of Hosea. Then he himself could understand the heart of God. The nation called back as Gomer was called back to her husband. Their kids scatter. I have no love for you, and you are not my people, the names of all three of their children, as years went by. And most scholars believe that the last two children were not Hosea's, and that the names are there because Gomer was officially gone. Hosea's left with the kids, he's left with a broken heart, and he's left with an empty bed. He's being mocked by the people that he's sharing God with. Some of those people slept with his wife the night before. The heartache of all of it. She ran her course, and then God told Hosea to go buy her off a slave block. Hosea learned the heart of God as he paid half the price of a slave for a worn, broken, tired woman who was his wife. Probably the only man who loved her. He took her back to her home and let her know that she was done with that lifestyle, done with running away, done with running around at night. And people were probably saying to him, "Why would you even want her? You're a better man than me. I had her as well as a lot of other men, and you're truly an idiot for taking her back." But Hosea understood, because how could a holy God love a people that whore themselves to other lovers, to other gods? How could he love a nation and forgive them? It's a love that reaches out after it's betrayed, ravaged, and run through the mud and trampled upon. And we can deal out his word harshly, hurtful, or even vengeful at times. But here we see a broken man dealing out God's word in a way and a love for God's people. And he begins his prophecies through God to the nation in Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, if you're following along in your Bibles. "Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land." Hosea is the message because he went through it. It is scary, and I'm experiencing this right now. God touches your life because he's shown me in one moment you can have everything you believe is what you need to make you comfortable, and within 1 year have it all taken away. But within the loss, he is working and revealing his plan and purposes, though it's still extremely difficult. I have personally prostituted myself to other things away from God, like a prodigal son, getting caught up in things that are temporary, then to get worn and tired and beat up by those things, only to come back to an unconditional loving God who cares for me, despite my selfishness wanting my own ways. God entrusting his own heart to us. God spoke to the wayward. First, there's no faithfulness or truth. Number two, there is no love or mercy. Number three, there is no acknowledgement of God. How true is that to the United States today? I would say there's great truth in this for today, because I lived in an era and time where things were wrong or right from a biblical perspective. Even people who weren't biblical lived a good moral life based upon godly principles. There are certain things that were wrong and right in the culture. When I did something wrong, I went home and I found out about it. I could be blocks away, yet my mom would know. There was a chain of moral compasses throughout the neighborhoods. I remember one time I was riding a moped miles away from my house, and when I got home, my mom knew. I wondered, how did she know? Then I was taught to respect police, first responders, to respect military, to respect the president, no matter if I agree with them or not. Truth is twisted in a person's choices and even with marriage. The decision of marriage is not based on God's truth anymore. It is based upon the person's feelings, their decisions of what marriage is, and they'll do what they want based upon how they feel and not what God would desire for them to do. There's a woman who married a carnival ride. Legally, she married an inanimate object. There are people who married animals, dogs, snakes, cats, because it's their twisted view on marriage. Thousands of years marriage was a certain way and designed a certain way, and somehow they forgot. There is no truth, and that goes hand in hand with no mercy. There is no mercy anymore, which goes hand in hand with the knowledge of God, because He is holy and perfect. He gave us right and wrong not to choose, but to protect us. And they choose to live a secular standard. Beside, instead of following God in their marriage, they decide to follow themselves and their own secular standards, and they wind up doing whatever they want to do because it's how they feel. This nation was founded on Judeo-Christian ethic, what is right and biblical and convicted by the scriptures and God. Verse 2, there is only cursing, lying and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. What 10 commandments are being broken here? Look at our times today and see the comparisons. Verse 3, because of this, the land dries up, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea are swept away. I want you to understand this is really cool here. Read that verse again if you are eco-friendly. Because they're not sad about their godlessness. Just as Gomer wasn't sad about abandoning her marriage, she could care less about that. She was even going and being religious at church, even though she decided to do all that she did. This means the people weren't sad for what they did. They were just doing it, and they were enjoying it. Now, listen to me. Look at this verse. Ecology is affected by the turning away of a people from God. It's interesting to see, as people are environmentally friendly, they desire to save the environment and endangered animals, and that goes hand in hand with repentance here. The land and the animals are connected to God and morality. Verse 4. But let no one bring a charge. Let no one accuse another, for your people are like those who bring charges against a priest. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you, so I will destroy your mother. The land was filled at the time with false prophets, as it is today, even in some of the pulpits in America, destroying the mother being Israel, and Gomer, the picture of Israel. Verse 6. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also reject you as my priests, because you have ignored the law of your God. I will also ignore your children. People are destroyed due to lack of knowledge. I know many people, and they pray, and they go to church, or they do both, yet they never crack their Bible open at all. Knowledge. They're not destroyed because they do not know God. The word knowledge here is intimacy between a husband and a wife. The issue is they know God, but they don't know Him intimately. Are they spending time with Him daily? Are they reading His Word? Do they worship Him with a group of people? Do they grow to love Him as a husband and a wife grow to love each other? Are they too busy? Too busy even in the church? Too enthralled in busyness to be alone with Him? They perish because they don't know Him. They perish because they don't come with Him. Then the word ignore is used through the book. The word ignore is used as setting aside. That's the definition of it here. They don't forget God in the sense of, didn't I used to go somewhere Sunday mornings? Didn't we used to read some book? Sing some songs? It all seems foggy to me now. No, they set aside and have other things to do. They push God to a lesser place, which is idolatry. And Hosea knew exactly how this felt, because Gomer set him aside to go do whatever she wanted to do, to be wherever she wanted to be, so that she could get money, and according to the word here, to drink wine, and to do whatever she wanted. She set her husband and her marriage aside so that she could go experience whatever she wanted to experience. Other things took place in their lives. That's the number one thing I hear as a pastor. I can't come to church Sunday because I'm too busy. I can't come to church Sunday because family is more important. I can't come to church Sunday because I have to get ready for my Steelers party, when God should be first and foremost. Verse 7, the more priests there were, the more they sinned against me. They exchanged their glorious God for something disgraceful. How often does that happen to the nations? As every republic in history lasted an average of 200 to 400 years, they grow, they prosper, they become independent, and they no longer depend on God. They forget who He is, they remove Him from everyday life, they turn away from Him, and their glory turns into disgrace. Verse 8. They feed on the sins of my people and relish their wickedness. And it will be like people, like priests. I will punish both of them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat but not have enough. They will engage in prostitution but not flourish, because they have deserted the Lord to give themselves. Nothing they gather to themselves will satisfy them. Look back at Gomer. She left Hosea to go out and get something that she believed would fill her voids. All the stuff she attempted to fill her voids with was empty. She prostituted herself to men, to stuff, to other vices, which ultimately led her to the slave block. In comparison, Israel does the same to God. You can have it all and have nothing. The Lord will never let them be satisfied in their sins, as Gomer was not satisfied in hers. She ran away from her marriage to fill herself with empty pleasure. Verse 11, to prostitution, old wine and new wine, take away their understanding. And the language there isn't understanding. It says it takes away their hearts. Verse 12. My people consult a wooden idol, and a diviner's rod speaks to them. A spirit of prostitution leads them astray, and they are unfaithful to God. They had these poles that they would drop, and in the direction it fell was the direction their false god was leading them to go. In other words, they sought wicked and empty counsel. They no longer listened to God or his word, didn't want to listen to Hosea. They only desired to listen to an empty and silent false deity, which that's what happens sometimes. You have Gomer going out and listening to people who don't know anything about marriage or God. Divination is evil. They prostituted themselves. They became unfaithful. What is the solution? The solution isn't relying on ourselves. When I was a kid, if I relied on living life myself, I would have died. I needed my parents to lead me, to help. There were situations I got into that if I handled it, then I would have ended up in messes. It's the same with God. I'm learning to fully trust and rely on my dad, my Abba. I can't fix my relationships, my career, I can't fix my marriage, I can't fix the people I love, I can't fix my past mistakes or anything else. I need to frog, fully rely on God. Then when we come out of the covering of our dad, it's when the enemy can get a hold of us. The language implies they left from under God to go a-whoring. Verse 13, they sacrifice on the mountaintops, burn offerings on the hills, under oak, poplar, and terebinth, where the shade is pleasant. Therefore your daughters turn to prostitution, and your daughter-in-laws to adultery. Men weren't setting the example. We're supposed to be the high priest of the home. The responsibility to represent the family for the living God, praying for our wives and children. I have made the mistake in my marriage and parenting to tell them they could not do something because I'm a pastor and I could get in trouble. When what I should have done is said, I desire you not to do this because the Bible says that we shouldn't do it because you're on loan. I am the high priest of the home according to the Bible. I will give an account to God someday, and this is the book we live by, and it has nothing to do with the fact of my vocation and the fact that I am a pastor. That is what I should have been doing. Intimacy with a spouse. Love. Our spouses can hurt us. We can hurt our spouses. And then they make it to a point where they believe that what they want to do, well, I need to do this. And they may get into a certain mindset of, I have to do this because it's what I want. It's because of what I need. And I need to do it for myself. And for me. And they get in the selfishness and to, you know, into their own mindset of self. You know, Gomer was in that mindset. If you read everything about Gomer, it's about what she wanted. What she wanted to do. And while she left a broken-hearted Hosea and broken-hearted children because of what she wanted to do. And it was about her. When God, it's the same way. The people of the United States today live in a life of self, even in the church. What can I do for me? I can pray for me. I can do this for me. It's all about me. When it shouldn't be about us, it should be about God. And our marriages and our relationships should be based upon God and what God desires. Not what we desire, not what we want. Because me leads to things like separation and divorce. Me and self leads to those things. It should be about what God desires. And God can heal any relationship. He has the power to do that because he does not desire us to divorce. He hates divorce. He desires us to be in our marriages and to improve in those things, in those relationships. Intimacy. He wants to have intimacy with us, not set him aside. You wouldn't set your wife or husband aside and to go do whatever you wanted, would you? God's the same way. Don't set God aside. And don't have lack of knowledge. Be reading his word. Be studying his word. Because if you're not reading the Bible, then you're probably going to set your spouse aside at some point. Intimacy with your spouse. God, intimacy and love with his people, the relationship. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember that we are called to be in an intimate relationship with you, like a husband and wife, that you are supposed to be the closest person in our lives. You are God. I love you, Lord, and I pray that you would continue to heal. If there's relationships in here today that need healing, I pray that you would heal them. If there are people's marriages in here that need healing today, I pray that you would heal them. And Father, that you would bring us to a focus where we're supposed to be first and foremost following you, walking with you. And Father, in these things, I thank you and I give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit and subscribe to our podcast by seeing New Hope Community Church. Podomatic.com or listen to us on iTunes. Thank you very much. Have a great week. And don't forget, Marriage March is coming. And we'll continue Hosea as we continue as well and talk about marriage throughout the month of March. God bless you. And always remember, there's new hope in Jesus.